welcome everybody to the Six Eyes Children's Bible Time here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you saying welcome one, welcome all to the program today, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Just press that number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, as we are getting ready to have another fun time in the Lord with all our little ones out there today. And yes, we are in that time right now with all our little ones having requests for Ranger Bill and Uncle Bob episodes. Yes, all those Ranger Bill and Uncle Bob episodes. And eventually, now we are going to get around to it because it has been requested that we come up with episodes of Ranger Bill and Uncle Bob that kind of suit or fit some of the Six Eyes personalities here, like Brother Six, Queen Nye, Pastor Bonnet, yes, yours truly, Sister Ruth, Sister Emily, and yes, Brother Quick. So, some episodes. So, each Wednesday, we will do that coming up down the road here. We've picked some episodes for each one. So, each week, we will pick one of the radio personalities from Six Eyes Radio Network, and we will have an Uncle Bob and Ranger Bill episode for each person, and it will be their special day, and we will see what kind of episodes kind of suit them. So, little ones, we have heard your requests, and we have some other Ranger Bill, Uncle Bob episodes for you that you have chosen for yourselves, too. But we are going to do those first before we get into some of the ones that suit the radio personalities here. But first, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us that may have prayer requests, prayer praises for us?
Well, we have got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and me.
Ooh, well, I see our prayer team leader must be either not feeling good, or her phone hasn't got its coffee, or, well, she may be just snoozing on the job. Which of the three, we don't know.
She said her phone may want to go out the window, remember?
Or she may, yeah, her phone may have took wings, but we don't know. We will just, but this being the first of the month, May 1st, some celebrate May Day even, but she may be out taking care of those first of the month things that some of us have to deal with. So she may be out taking care of bills too. So what we will do, we will just go ahead and pray for her anyway.
Amen.
But what kind of prayer request you got?
Well, I'm just praying that when I go get these injections tomorrow, I'm not sure if they're doing both knees, that they will work. They're supposed to be steroids with keratosone.
So, ooh, well, maybe they got an injection for your head to make you scare up more listeners.
It'd be nice if we could grab a few more, yes.
Okay. Well, why don't we just go ahead? Of course, we got all our listeners that we want to pray for. We want to pray for that soul who is nearest hell. We want to be continuing to pray for, obviously, all of the Six Eyes team here. We want to pray for souls to be saved. Situation Israel, we want to pray for our military, our politicians. They need definitely Jesus. We need to be praying for all of our medical personnel, all our first responders. Be pray for those sick and shut in, no matter where they may be. And, of course, continue to pray for the blind ministry as we are working yet to get the bus. We are now at 15% of what we need raised to get that bus, so we want to thank the Lord for that. So we just want to continue to pray for that. So we are going to let you open us in prayer, Ruth, and then we're going to get right into our program today.
Well, also, we should pray for Israel. Did you mention Israel?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and pray for Tim, because he's still in the middle of the fighting there somewhere in Tel Aviv. So, you know, he's right there in the action. So we better pray, you know, he can reach some lost souls while he's there. So, you know. be nice if he could witness to Hamas, huh?
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, and, you know, pray for everything. My legs will get better, too, so, because I don't want to be like this. I don't like my knees hurting. So, you know, we'll wing it. All right, honey, I guess we'll pray then. All right, dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you so much, and be with all the requests. You know what they are, and you can take care of them, and we just love and praise your name. Love you so much. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, like I said, we got a great lineup for you today, some great songs, and then, of course, our Ranger Bill, Uncle Bob, and Sister Ruth, who has some great Bible stories for you little ones. And then, of course, we'll have open mic time at the end if you missed your chance at the beginning. So here we go. All right, come on, Ruth. You got to sing this.
50-50 United States from the 13 original colonies. 50-50 stars on the flag that billows so beautifully in the breeze. The quality that is great. Each individual state deserves a bow. And now, 50 United States and 13 original colonies. Shout 'em, tell all about 'em. One till we've given a day to every state in the USA. The Bama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Wyoming, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wyoming, North, South, East, West.
On that.
The highways that wind and wander over mountains and valleys and deserts and plains. I guess I drove about all of them. 'Cause for the past 25 years now, the cab of a truck has been my home, and it'd be kind of hard for me to settle down and not be on the go. Well, I remember the first truck I drove. I was so proud I could hardly wait to get home to show my wife and little boy. And my little boy was so excited like when he saw his first snow. He wasn't old enough to say too many words. He just kept a hollering, giddy up, go, Daddy, giddy up, go. So that's what I named the old truck, Giddy Up, Go. Oh, things wasn't too bad. Of course, I was gone an awful lot. And then after about 6 years of being in and out, I got home one day and found my wife and little boy gone. And I couldn't find out what happened. Nobody seemed to know. So from that day on, it's just been me and old Giddy Up Go. Oh, I've made a lot of friends at all the truck stops. And some of them would kid me about my little sign. Of course, they knew where I'd got the name. Of course, I told them about that little boy of mine and how his first word about the truck was Giddy Up Go. Well, today I was barreling down old 66 when up beside me pulled a brand new diesel rig, both stacks blowing black coal. And as he pulled around and back in front of me, a big lump came in my throat. And my eyes watered like I had a bad old cold. A little sign on the back of the truck that read, Giddy Up, Go. Well, I pushed old Giddy Up and stayed right on him till the next truck stop where he'd pulled up. And I waited till he went in and I offered to buy him a cup. Well, we got to talking shop and I said, how'd you come by the name on your truck, Giddy Up, Go? Well, he said, I got it from my pop. Dad used to drive a truck. That's what Mom talked about a lot. You see, I lost Mom when I was just past 16. And I lost all track of Pop. Mom said he got the name from me. Well, I shook his hand and told him I had something I wanted him to see. And I took him out to the old truck and brushed off some of the dirt so the name would show. And his eyes got big and bright as he read, Giddy Up, Go. Oh, we had a lot of things to talk about, and buddy, I felt like a king. And now we've just pulled back on old 66, and he handled that rig better than any gear jammer that I'd ever seen. Well, now the lines on the highway have got a much brighter glow. As we go roaring down the road, and me staring at little sign that reads, Giddy Up, Go.
Sometimes never die. We carry them on until they become someone else's dreams. A friend of mine had such a dream. I met her at a truck stop just outside of Phoenix. We both worked there. Her dream came true, I know. The key to her dream was a little sign that read, Giddy Up, Go. She was a lovely girl, pretty smile. But behind all this, I could see a troubled mind. She told me of when she met the guy that won her heart and made her life a joy. And before too long, more happiness came. A little baby boy. Things wasn't too bad. His job wasn't much, but somehow they got by. And then came the day he drove home a big truck. And the little boy became so overjoyed, just like when he saw his first fall of snow. He kept hollering, Giddy Up, Go, Daddy! Giddy Up, Go! Then a dark cloud moved in. 2 years later, without warning, after a few visits with her doctor, he said it was just a matter of time. She knew she'd have to move to a drier climate. and this troubled her mind. So without leaving a trace, she took her son and left town one night. She settled here, and we became the closest of friends. We talked from time to time, and she'd smile, and her eyes would glow when she'd tell me about Giddy Up Go. Each time a truck would pull in, I could see her stand and stare. Wasn't long before she had to give up being a waitress here, and she moved on out of town, not too far. We visited almost every week. The boy now is almost grown. He's the image of his dad, she'd say, the most handsomest man I've ever known. The dark cloud once more moved in, and as I stood close by, once again she told her story. I could see a tear in her eye. I know my son longs for the road, and the last request she had, let him become a truck driver, like son, like dad. The boy soon left town, I never knew for where. But I find myself watching every truck that pulled in around the curve. Giddy Up Go was the only link that held between the two. And I was hoping that I could be of help. He became a dream to me, too. Just now I froze in my tracks as I watched two trucks pull in, a big new shiny diesel and an old one following him. I couldn't help staring as they walked in, ordered coffee, and talked a while. Then I saw them leave, both wearing such a smile. They walked out to the old truck, brushed off some dirt so the nameplate would show. And before my eyes, a little sign. It read, Giddy Up, Go.
Now it is time for the Success Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
So, what have you done to the least of Christ's brethren? Who are his brethren? They, Jesus said, in his word, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same, my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. These are his brethren. So, what you've done to them, when you give them a glass of water, when you give them something to eat, when you visit them in prison or in the hospital, nursing home, etc., how you treat them is how you treat Christ. You're not doing it to them. Remember, you're doing it ultimately to Christ. Found in our Success Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Amen. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range
from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Ashtabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you've got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. you'd like to help keep shows like this one on the air, well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, yeah, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
You put one hand in, you put one hand out, you put one hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn around. That's what it's all about. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Whoa, the hokey pokey. That's what it's all about. You put two hands in, you put two hands out, you put two hands in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn around. That's what it's all about. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Whoa, the hokey pokey. That's what it's all about. You put one foot in, you put one foot out, you put one foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn around. That's what it's all about. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Whoa, the hokey pokey. Keep poking.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking a Vestibule, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
And now, kids, it is time for Ranger Bill.
Of the woodland. Ranger Bill, warrior of the woodland, struggling against extreme odds, traveling dangerous trails, showing rare courage in the face of disaster. In the air. On horseback. Or in a screaming squad car. Ranger Bill, his mind alert, a ready smile, unswerving, loyal to his mission. And all this in exchange for the satisfaction and pride of a job well done.
You know, when I first started in business, there was a lot of dirty work to be cleaned up. And I says, a lot of treachery, huh? He says, no, I started as the manager of a laundry.
I never know whether to believe you or not, Stubby. Hey, you seem to have an endless supply of jokes.
We've looked all over his house, Fred. But we haven't been able to find where he hides
them. I hide him right up here in my think tank. That's where I hide him. You think just because a feller has white hairs all over his head that there ain't nothing going on inside?
Well, I never think that about you, old-timer.
How about you, Fred? How's business?
Oh, looking up, Bill, looking up.
Now what?
I was just thinking about the only way for a business to look up is for it to be flat on its back.
Yeah, well, that's one expression I'll never use again.
Well, come on, young whippersnapper. Maybe Bill and Fred have the time to stand around and join, but those of us who work for a living have things to do.
I'll stop by the station later in the morning, Stubby. You know where you can reach me.
Maybe today I'll finally get at cleaning out that back room.
Are you cleaning that place again?
No, I'm cleaning it still. Bye, Bill.
Bye,
Stumpy. Bye, Henry.
So long!
Hey, Stumpy sure is a character, Bill. What would you do without him?
That's a question I try to put off thinking about, Fred. I can't imagine what the station would be like without the old-timer, his harmonica, and his jokes.
Yeah, well, How long do you think he'll be with the Rangers? I mean, before he retires.
That's hard to tell.
Well, doesn't his age start to show? Like when you have something especially energetic to do.
Well, again, Fred, I'll have to say that I just don't know. You see, even if Stumpy were slowing up a bit, his experience makes up for it. He's always one of the first to locate difficulties and solve the kind of problems we run up against. So, you see, Fred, I just don't know.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter. He's got enough sense to retire when the time comes.
Sure. But I'm certain he'll be with us for a good couple of years yet before he retires.
Good morning, Mr. Hayes. Mr. Jeffrey.
Good morning, Mrs. Purdy.
Good morning, Mrs. Purdy.
My, isn't it a lovely morning? I came out to shop right early just to enjoy it all the more.
Yes, it is. I was just saying a little while ago that business is about to start looking up. I wasn't going to use that expression, was I? Well, anyway, the coming of the nice weather brings more business to the stores.
Oh, you haven't been doing very well this winter?
Oh, no, it isn't that. I've done fine. It's just that the overall volume will probably pick up.
Oh, now that's all right. I understand perfectly. You don't have to talk about it.
But...
Bill, just as I was coming up, you were talking about somebody retiring. Wouldn't be dear stuffy now, would it?
Retiring? Oh, that. We were just speculating as to how long it would be before he might retire.
Expect it soon, do you?
Well, I'm afraid not. If I know Stumpy, he'll never be ready to retire.
Uh-huh. Well, it's been nice chatting with you. I really must be going.
Good morning, Mrs.
Purdy. Bye, Mrs. Purdy.
Good day, gentlemen.
I suppose it's just the way she is, but she sure tries to nose in on everybody else's affairs. You know, Marion tells me she's the biggest gossip in Naughty Pine.
That wouldn't be a bit of gossip itself, would it?
Yeah, you're right, Bill. Sorry.
A long time ago, I saw what dangerous things can happen from a bit of gossip, Fred.
I know what you mean.
Well, this is no time to preach on the subject. I've got to get over to the bank, then to the station. Nice bumping into you, Fred.
Hey, likewise, Bill. Listen, give us a call sometime. We'd enjoy seeing you more often.
Is it really the best brand?
It's the only brand of that stuff we carry, ma'am.
Well, all right, I'll try it just once.
Amelia, I thought I recognized your voice.
Charlotte, how good to see you. Say, Charlotte, have you ever tried these?
Yes, we did once. Why?
Well, I was just making up my mind whether or not to buy them. How did you like them?
As I remember, Herb thought they were all right, but I didn't like them.
Oh, I guess I'll let him go. Oh, say, have you heard the latest from over at the ranger station?
Land sakes, I didn't even know they did anything that might even interest me. What is it?
Well, I don't think I ought to be telling anybody this, Charlotte, but you're such a close friend. I know you won't let it get around. I overheard Bill Jefferson telling Fred Hayes this morning, right outside Fred's door, that Stumpy Jenkins is retiring.
No, I heard Bill himself say it. Knew Stumpy was getting up in years, but
oh,
I didn't...
Oh, it might not be as simple as all that, Charlotte.
Oh?
That's right. I only asked a few simple questions about it, but it seemed to me that Bill was awfully evasive.
You mean you think they might be forcing Stumpy out?
I wouldn't want to be the one to say it, but he did say that he was afraid Stumpy wouldn't retire on his own.
Well, what does that sound like to you?
Terrible.
Just terrible. A fine man like Stumpy Jenkins being forced out of work. Wait till my Herb hears about this.
Oh, I wouldn't tell anyone about it, Charlotte. I mean, I might be wrong, but I've only told you what I've heard.
Don't worry, Amelia. Thanks very much for letting me in. I'm sure it will come as a shock to the whole town. A fine man like Stumpy.
Stumpy? A fine man like Stumpy Jenkins?
That's exactly what I told the media. It's shocking. To think that Bill Jefferson is practically throwing him out. I always thought Bill was such a nice man.
He was always straight with me. Maybe they've had some sort of disagreement. Can't think of any other reason.
Of course, that would explain it. I'll get it, Herb. You just finish your dessert. Hello? Oh, hello, Bertha. No, we were just finishing. Oh, that's all right. What's that? Tonight? Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. This is the night the town council is meeting. Yes, Herb plans on going. Is Ed? Uh-huh. Well, sure, I'd like to get together. Have I got news to tell you? What? Oh, it can wait till I see you. Well, if I tell you what it's about, I'll have to tell you the whole thing. Oh, all right. It seems that over at the ranger station, Bill Jefferson and Stumpy Jenkins have had a fight. That's right. And because Bill is chief ranger over there, it seems that he's firing him.
We don't know that for certain, Charlotte.
Just a minute, dear. I'm on the phone. Oh, no, Bertha. Herb just shouted something to me. What's that? Of course it's true. Amelia Purdy heard the whole thing this morning herself. We'll talk more about it tonight, Bertha. I'll see you then. Uh-huh. Thanks for calling, dear. Goodbye.
Shouting among yourselves, you'd think this was the ladies' meeting. Well, I can see that I'm going to have to throw aside Roberts and his rules and start with new business. I do that just so I can find out what it is that you're all talking about.
We're talking about the shake-up over at the ranger station, Your Honor. We're wondering whether the town council ought to take any official action on the subject.
Well, that's a good question. I can't even think of an answer for it. But maybe if one of you gentlemen would let me in on what this shake-up's all about, I could help us come to a decision.
Well, Your Honor, it seems our wives have scooped us on this story. We've just been putting the pieces together. As near as we can figure it, Mrs. Purdy was walking by the ranger station this morning early and heard Bill Jefferson and Stumpy Jenkins really going at it.
Going at it?
Well, fighting, as near as we can make out.
I find that a little hard to believe.
Well, so do we, except for the fact that Bill is making Stumpy retire from the Rangers.
Is that so?
That's right, Your Honor. I don't like to come right out and accuse Bill of anything. He's always been straight with me, but it sure sounds like he's pulling rank on the old-timer.
Has anyone actually talked to Bill or Stumpy about this?
I saw Bill this morning, Your Honor.
Was any of this mentioned?
I wish I could remember exactly what happened. I never gave it a thought until I came here tonight. And
what do you mean, Fred?
Well, it seems to me that we did mention Stumpy's retiring. I can't remember what was said.
Mm-hmm. And this was in a direct conversation with Bill?
That's right.
It's beginning to sound as though there's something to it.
Of course there's something to it. There may be a lot of kidding about nosy wives, but our wives wouldn't deliberately start anything like this.
Now, besides, Fred says that even Bill mentioned it.
Seems to me we ought to put Bill in his place. I don't like him pulling rank on the old man and getting rid of him just because they've had a little fight.
That's the way I feel.
Oh, gentlemen. You know, as I see it, we don't have any business meddling in Ranger affairs. I know how y'all feel about Stumpy. I feel the same way. But I don't think it'll be wise to try to tell the Rangers how to run their affairs.
But, Your Honor, what if Bill gets away with it?
Yeah,
that's a point. Well, if he gets away with it, he'll have to look himself in the face the rest of his life. But there may be other ways than coming right out and saying something to him about it.
What do you have in mind, Your Honor?
Well, we all like Stumpy a whole lot now, don't we?
Sure do.
Enough, maybe, to have a testimonial dinner for him? You see, if the whole town gets behind the idea that Stumpy's really a swell fella, Bill can't help but see what a mistake he's making.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, we might even go a step further in pushing Bill to his senses.
How are you going to do that, Your Honor?
Why not have Bill because he's known Stumpy for so long, why not have him give the main speech of the evening in praise of Stumpy? Wow.
That's a corker. Good idea, Your Honor. As for the dinner of the main speaker, I so move.
Agreed?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Herb and Fred, I'm appointing you a committee of two to make the necessary arrangements. Because we'll have to move fast to avert any action to get rid of Stumpy, any plans you make will be okay with me, and no need to tag.
Knock, knock!
Who's there?
Greta!
Greta who?
Greta Long, little doggie, Greta Long!
You sure sound chipper today, Stumpy.
Yeah, and why not? All week people seem to have been going out of their way to be nice to me. Can't figure out why, but can't say I must.
Huh? You and Bill ought to get together. Maybe some of your cheer would rub off on him.
Huh? Why?
Oh, he was just in here. Seems to be feeling pretty low.
Oh? Well, what's the matter?
Didn't say. You know how Bill is. He doesn't bother anybody with his problems, but I think it's the way people seem to be acting toward him. Have you noticed?
Can't say I have. Where'd he go?
I think he's gone over to Sam's for lunch. You could probably find him there.
I think I will. Thanks, Henry.
Jenkins, how nice to see you.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Rogers. Nice day.
Nicer now. There's something about your happy face that brightens the day.
I didn't even know I was smiling.
I don't know how Bill can do it.
Huh?
Oh, I know I'm not supposed to know about it, but the whole town does.
No? About what?
About your trouble with Bill.
What are you talking about?
I knew you'd be this way, but it's no good. We all know about your fight and the awful way he's forcing you to retire from the Rangers.
But you couldn't...
Oh, dear, I've let the cat out of the bag, haven't I? I really must run along before I say any more. Just remember, Stumpy, we're all behind you.
What's she talking about? Bill and me fight. Retire. Mind if I join you for lunch, Bill?
You seem to be the only one who wants to, Stumpy. Sit down. Maybe you can explain this cold-shoulder treatment I've been getting over the last couple of days. Even Sam hardly says more than to get my order.
There are a couple of things that I've got puzzling me, too. Maybe we could put them all together and make something out of it.
Okay, shoot.
Well, on the way over here just now, I ran into Mrs. Rogers. She said the strangest things about you and me fighting and making me retire from the Rangers and that the whole town is behind me in this. All I want to know is what's up.
She said all that?
That's right.
Well, if such a thing were true, I could understand why the people of Naughty Pine would be down on me. But where would they get such an idea as that?
Beats me. I can't remember having a fight with you since the ones we used to demonstrate for those life-saving courses.
And as I remember, you always won.
So I did.
Hello, Stumpy. I thought I recognized your laugh. I didn't notice you were in here too, Bill.
Shouldn't I be?
No, nothing of the kind.
But you were surprised. Like our sitting here together was the last thing you expected. Sit down, Mayor. Stumpy and I have a few things to ask you.
So, that's the whole story, Bill. Naturally, I was surprised to see you two eating and laughing together.
It's unbelievable. How does a thing like that start?
I am sure I can't tell you, Bill. I've told you the details just as they got to me, and I don't think I've added anything to them.
That's probably the whole thing right there. Somehow, somewhere, a comment or something got started, and everybody added their bit.
And look at the way it developed.
Bill, I'm sorry to have had any part in this at all. I'll call a special meeting of the town council and cancel all plans for the dinner. I'll also make it very clear what I think of the whole rumor.
Your Honor, if I may, I'd like to offer another suggestion.
Well, whatever you say, Bill.
If it's all right with you, let's go through with the dinner as planned.
Go through with it?
That's right. I'm sure most of Naughty Pine will turn out for it, including all the steps in the rumor. I don't know of a better way to get them all together at one time.
Once you get them all together, what you going to do?
I'm supposed to be the main speaker, right?
Yes, you are. Oh, I see. You can use the opportunity to set a few things straight.
Exactly. That is, if Stumpy doesn't mind his testimonial dinner being used that way.
Mind? I hope you'll have something for me to do in it. This is the best idea I've heard in a long time.
Well, in that case, I won't say a thing to anyone. We'll all go on as though the story were true about you and Stumpy.
Fine. Thank you, Your Honor.
Oh, that's all right, Bill. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a hard time waiting to attend this dinner. Looks like it's going to prove to be the most unusual dinner Naughty Pine City Council has ever sponsored. Looks like everyone's about done, Bill. Maybe we should start the proceedings, huh?
Whenever you say, Mayor.
Well, I'll introduce you. Folks, when it came to choosing the man best suited to tell us what Stumpy Jenkins was really like, well, there wasn't any choice at all. He spends most of his days, most of the time, most of the year and knows him. Well, almost like they were one person. Of course, I'm referring to our speaker tonight, Chief Ranger Bill Jefferson.
Thank you. Ever since the mayor and I first spoke of this evening, I've been looking forward to it with a great deal of pleasure. In trying to decide what to do with the time allotted me this evening to best present what I feel Stumpy would once said, I hit on a game that we like to play. I know this is a little unusual for an after-dinner speech, but I think its meaning will become clearer as we begin to play. This is one of Stumpy's favorite games, and maybe it'll become one of yours. I wonder if I could have three or four volunteers. Come on, don't be embarrassed.
Well, if Stumpy will enjoy it, I'll participate.
Good. Mrs. Purdy has volunteered her services. How about two or three more?
Come on, Herb. You heard Bill say it was one of Stumpy's favorite games.
No.
Come on.
Come on.
Fine, fine. Now, maybe one more man, and we can begin the game.
What kind of a game is it?
Come on up, Ed. You can help us.
Okay, fine.
Good. Now I believe we're all ready to play. Stumpy, do you want to tell the rules? We're playing Tell Me a Story.
I kind of thought that's what you were getting to. Well, I'll tell him. Bill there has got a picture or something. Now, one of you is going to take a long look at the picture, and then we'll put her away. Then the one who's looked at the picture tells one of the others what the picture is, and that one tells the next one, and so on, until the information has been passed to the last one.
Then what?
Then the last one tells what he's been told, and we take a look at the picture. That's when it gets pretty good.
Seems sort of senseless to me.
It'll take on all kinds of meaning before we're through, Herb.
Have you got a picture there, Bill?
Here it is. We'll all have a chance to see it later. I've had it blown up from a newspaper photograph.
Okay. Now suppose you all line up
up the way you volunteered. That's right, Mrs. Purdy. And then the Rogers. Then you, Ed. Good. Now I'll show the picture to Mrs. Purdy. And nobody else look.
Well, I am beginning to see what this is all about.
I thought you would, Mayor.
Okay, Mrs. Purdy, have you seen it long enough?
Well, certainly. It's a simple enough photograph.
Good. Now, we'll just put it face down here on the table, and you tell Mrs. Rogers what's in the picture. Whisper so we can't hear you.
Where did you get the idea, Bill?
I read about it somewhere, Your Honor.
Certainly will come in handy tonight.
That's fine. Now, you tell Herb what you've just been told, Mrs. Rogers.
Well, all right, but I don't see the point of all this.
You'll be surprised. Go on now.
I say, Bill, how much longer does this game go on?
Only until the information has been passed all the way down the line.
You done?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Herb, you tell Ed what you've just heard, and we'll be able to check the whole thing with the original picture.
Well, I guess I might just as well finish it up.
Whisper now.
Okay. Everybody's wondering what's on the picture, Bill. Will you tell us?
I'll let Ed tell everybody first. Then we'll take a look.
There! The picture has been explained all the way down the line.
All right. Now, Ed, suppose you tell us all what the picture has on it, as it's come to you.
Well, as I understand it, there's this poor beat-up store in a bad neighborhood.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Please, Mrs. Purdy, if you'll wait just a minute. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, this store must have been a pawn shop. It had a lot of junk in the window. There's a cop standing by the front door telling the owner that his place has been condemned.
Ah, anything else?
Well, that's about all I remember. Can we see the picture now?
I'm afraid you're all in for a surprise. Hold up the picture, Stubby. Let Fred see it, too.
Okay, Bill.
Hey, well, that's a picture of my store. Why, well, that's my ad in tonight's paper.
Folks, I think what happened is rather easy to see. Possibly the word bargains on the window suggested to one of these ladies that the goods inside are less than the best. This led to the store becoming run down as the tale was passed between the others. The sailor, pictured here, looking into the window, became a police officer condemning the building.
By the time the picture had been told about down through those people, wasn't anywhere near the same picture. Now, I know Fred wouldn't like his store to be thought of as a pawn shop in a poor section of town.
The other day, another story finally made its way to us at the Ranger Station, one that had obviously been passed through many hands. It was a story about Stumpy and me, a story about how we fought and how I was going to fire him from the Rangers. Now, just as this picture changed a little at a time, so I presume did this story change a little at a time. But it ended so far removed from truth, it was almost impossible for us to believe.
For the last couple of days, everybody in town has been more than usually nice to me and cold to Bill. We couldn't figure out why.
It may seem ridiculous to make such a fuss about a few harmless rumors, but when they can split a town and even turn a couple of close friends to wonder about each other, well, I don't call that harmless.
No, folks, I can't tell you what a nice feeling it gives me to think that all of you would come out tonight to a testimonial dinner for me. But it sure puts a chill into that warm feeling to think that there are folks who would spend their time putting together a story like that one about Bill and me.
Well, that pretty much is what we have to say. We don't mean to bawl anybody out. We're just glad it didn't do any more harm than it did. There was a missionary in India once who used to keep three questions in front of herself all the time. Maybe we could pass them on to you. They were, is it true, is it kind, and is it necessary? I believe anyone would approve of conversation that passed those three tests. as you can see, boys and girls, sometimes people can stir up more action inside their heads than a match in a dry forest. You remember that, won't you? Well, see you next week for more adventure with
Ranger Bill!
Ranger Bill was produced in the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.
Was 100 years old when his long-promised baby arrived. What a day was that! I can imagine that he and Sarah gazed upon the wee thing with such wonder and delight they could hardly believe their eyes. They called him Isaac. Sarah was so happy, she said, "God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me." When Isaac was a few months old, Abraham had a big party and invited all his friends and neighbors to come and see the baby. How proud he was of it. And what a wonderful time he and Sarah must have had showing him off to everybody. I can almost hear Abraham saying over and over again, "This is the baby God promised us when we left Ur of the Chaldees 25 years ago. This is our first little speck of dust, our first tiny star." Everybody in the camp was not happy. Hagar knew that now Isaac had come, her son Ishmael, now 14 years of age, would never stand a chance of being Abraham's heir. In her jealousy, she poked fun at Sarah and her baby. So did Ishmael. At last, Sarah became so angry, she asked Abraham to get rid of them both. Unwilling to do anything that might seem unkind, Abraham talked with God about the trouble. And God said that it would be better to let them go, but not to worry, for he would look after them. Early next morning, Abraham bade farewell to Hagar and Ishmael, giving them food and water for their journey. It must have been a sad parting, and I can imagine the old man's eyes were filled with tears as the boy and his mother walked away, finally disappeared in the distance. Alas, the bottle of water was not sufficient, and when it was empty, both Hagar and Ishmael nearly died of thirst. The boy collapsed in the heat of the desert, and Hagar burst into tears. God kept his promise to watch over them. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Back in the camp, life revolved around the new baby. Everybody's eyes were upon him. Abraham and Sarah could think of nothing else. How they loved that child. Having waited for him so long, they could never do enough for him. And God loved him too. For Isaac was an important link in the chain of his plan of salvation. Through him and his children, the seed of the woman, Jesus, would come at last to bruise the serpent's head. And then, for a reason that must have been terribly hard for Abraham to understand, God asked him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, to kill him like a lamb or a kid or a calf and burn him on the altar. It must have come as a crushing blow to the old man. Here was the boy just growing into sturdy old manhood, the joy of his parents' hearts, the pride of the whole camp. And now God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Poor Abraham. Surely no greater test of faith and love ever came to any man. After waiting for years and years for this little boy, after telling all his friends and servants that he was the miracle child that God had promised him, after loving him with all the intense devotion that an old man has for an only son, he was now asked to lay him on the altar and slay him? Why? 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 He must have asked over and over again. Surely it must be all wrong. Surely he must not have heard God right.
Surely God would never ask anyone to do such a terrible thing. But Abraham knew that God had spoken to him, and though he could not understand the command, he decided to obey it. In his heart, he was sure the one who had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and watched over him through all his journeyings and finally fulfilled his promise to give him a son would not ask him to make such a sacrifice without good reason. So willingly, but with a heavy heart, he rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. All day long they traveled, and all the next day, which Abraham and Isaac together with the two servants following behind, wondering what it was all about. What a sad journey that was. It must have been almost more than Abraham could bear. Every step of the way, his heart became heavier and heavier, and I dare say he could hardly look at Isaac without wanting to cry. What did they talk about? No one will ever know, but we can be sure that when they did speak to each other, it was with great tenderness. Isaac out of loving regard for his aged father, and Abraham because of what God expected him to do on the morrow. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. What hope was in those words? Yet how could it be? If he obeyed God and killed his son, how could both of them ever come again? Unless could it be? Unless God planned to work a new and still greater miracle for him. Never been done before, but yes, God could do it. He had not said that nothing was too hard for him. Perhaps then it might even be that he would raise Isaac from the dead. So we read in the book of Hebrews, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom he was said that it Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. On the way up the mountainside, Isaac began to wonder just what his father had in mind. Till now he had felt very proud and happy at being alone with him on this long journey to build a new altar to God. But now, as he looked over the things he was carrying, suddenly dawned on him that something was missing. There was no animal for the sacrifice. They had traveled all this way in vain. The most important item had been forgotten. My father, he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So the moment Abraham had dreaded most had come, Isaac must be told the awful truth, but not yet, not till the last moment. So Abraham replied, and we can almost hear the tremor in his voice, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. In saying this, he said much more than he realized. His words were prophetic. For long years in the future, God would do this very thing, not only for Abraham, but for everybody. He would provide a lamb to die on Calvary, Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, they went together, the slow and weary steps, until at last they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Never had it taken him so long to prepare the wood on an altar, for he kept wondering and wondering whether God would do something to make the next step unnecessary. But nothing happened, and at last, turning to Isaac, he explained as best he could what God wanted him to do. And here the beauty of Isaac's character be seen. He was young, strong, and vigorous. He could have resisted. He could have overpowered his old father and run for his life. But he didn't. When he understood that it was God's will that he should die, he yielded himself willingly, and Abraham bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. If ever heaven and earth were close together, it was at that moment. There was Abraham standing by the altar with tears running down his cheeks as he took one last look at the son he loved so dearly, and there was God right beside him, watching with infinite eagerness, wondering whether his favorite servant could make so great a sacrifice without a question, without a word of complaint. Would Abraham stand this awful test? Would he go through to the bitter end rather than disobey God? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac closed his eyes, awaiting the final cut. The knife flashed in the morning sunlight, but it never touched him. Suddenly the silence of that mountaintop was broken by the sound of a voice, loud, urgent, commanding, as though God himself were anxious now. Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. The voice came just in time. Another moment and all would have been over. Now the knife that might have killed the lad cut his bonds and set him free. Now the two of them, father and son, must have embraced each other in speechless joy at this amazing deliverance. And how God must have smiled upon them both through the love and devotion to him. Said the voice again, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Then it was that Abraham saw a ram caught in the thicket. Probably it had been there all the time, but both of them had not been too worried to notice it. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Then the voice came again, for God was still close by, happy in the knowledge that there was a man who loved him with all his heart, who was willing to give up his dearest treasure at his command. And the voice said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Wonderful promise. In so saying, God opened the whole treasury of heaven to his loyal and faithful servant. Everything God owns was made his forever. And such is the blessing he offers to all who will love him, as did Abraham, who are willing to lay their best and choicest things upon the altar of sacrifice. Dear boy, dear girl, are you ready to do just this, to lay yourself upon this altar, to devote your life to God and his service? Will you say to him gladly and willingly, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee"? If so, then God will say to you, and he said to Abraham, "In blessing I will bless thee, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Then all your life will be different, radiantly happy and beautiful, as you walk with God toward the land of promise.
All right, little ones, it's that time to have a little time with Uncle Bob.
Quack, quack. Hi there. I'm Daffy the Wood Duck, and I'm Uncle Bob's guest today.
Welcome to Nature Corner, Daffy the Wood Duck.
Thanks, Uncle Bob. It's real neat to be here.
Well, it's neat to have you, Daff. Why do you call yourself a wood duck?
Because that's where I make my nest.
I see, in the wood, right?
Yes, the wood of a tree.
Probably a hole in the tree.
Yes, Uncle Bob. The great creator taught us wood ducks to build our nests in an old woodpecker's hole.
Sure, Woody Woodpecker drilled out a chamber in the tree about a foot deep and maybe 5 inches wide.
And after the woodpecker leaves, we wood ducks move in.
Daffy, why don't you tell the boys and girls what you look like, okay?
Well, I'm about the size of a mallard duck, a little prettier, though.
Yes, indeed, a lot of different shades of brown.
Yes, Uncle Bob, with a little blue and green on each wing.
Now, your husband has real fancy feathers, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. The intelligent master designer gave him green, blue, and white feathers on his head, bright red neck feathers, and brown, green, and blue wings, and beautiful gold feathers on his sides.
Oh, he's a real colorful guy.
For sure. Probably the prettiest duck in the world.
Daffy, I notice your feathers almost form a little tail on the back of your head.
Quite right. That's one way of telling a wood duck when you see it.
Oh?
You call that a duck tail haircut, Uncle Bob.
Daffy Wood Duck, you're here today to tell the boys and girls about your nest in the hollow tree and some super neato things about the baby ducks, too.
Yes, may I begin?
Okay, you're on, Daffy.
Well, most ducks build their nests in the weeds near the pond. But the Creator God taught us ducks to build ours in an old woodpecker's hole in the big tree.
That proves that all ducks are not alike.
Yeah, even though we all go quack, quack, that doesn't mean we're the same.
That's for sure. The intelligent Creator made you different.
That shows he has a lot of imagination and creativity, Uncle Bob. If all of us ducks were alike, it'd be boring.
And you can't help it that you're different, right?
Oh, no. The Son of God put special genes in us that made wood ducks out of us.
And when you have babies, you and your husband automatically pass those wood duck genes on to your ducklings.
Proof that the Creator's book is scientifically correct, Uncle Bob.
Explain what you mean.
Well, it says that he made us critters to reproduce after our kind.
That's right. Genesis 1 says that. And that's exactly what you do.
That's why I said the Creator's book is scientifically accurate.
Right on. Daffy Woodduck, after you find that old hollow woodpecker's nest 40 feet up in the maple tree, what do you do?
With my bill, I'll widen the opening a tad bit so I fit through easily. It's about 4 inches wide.
I see. And then?
After my husband and I mate, I'll lay 5 snowy white eggs.
How long does it take you to lay these 5 eggs, Daffy?
Usually 5 days.
You lay one a day?
Yes, Matt.
When do you begin sitting on the eggs?
Not until I've laid the last one.
Why do you wait till then?
Because I don't want those eggs hatching one per day.
Oh, I see. You want them all to hatch at the same time, so you start incubating them at the same time.
Yes, on the same day. And that happens because I start incubating them all at the same time.
Now, incubation means to sit on the eggs and make them warm, correct?
Yes. The Creator God taught me to pull out some of my stomach and breast feathers and use them to make the nest soft.
Daffy, since you did that, now bare skin is showing on your tummy.
That's the Master Designer's plan, Uncle Bob. When I pull those feathers out, the Lord causes tiny blood vessels to grow very close to the surface of my skin on my breast and stomach.
What a super design. And those blood vessels naturally are warm.
Yes, and that part touches the eggs and heats them to about 94 degrees Fahrenheit.
Just the right temperature to make that tiny speck of life inside of the eggshell start to grow.
Isn't my Creator wonderful?
Oh, sure thing, Daffy Woodduck. It's just like his book says. God's qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen and understood by what he has made.
Hey, that's heady material, man.
It's what the Creator's book says in Romans 1:20.
Well, that's true, Uncle Bob.
You got it. Daffy, I imagine your husband brings you food while you're incubating those eggs.
Oh, yes. He really cares for me well. He's super faithful to me for those few weeks that I'm sitting on those eggs in that hollow tree.
Is it true that you put your head down close to the eggs and listen to the tiny ducklings inside?
Oh, yes. Several hours before they hatch, I hear them peeping inside.
Well, I just heard them then, Daffy. Do you understand their peeping?
Of course I do.
What do you do about it?
I put my bill down close to the eggs, and I go, quack, 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 quack. All right, I'm your mother. Listen to my voice. Get to know it. Get to recognize it. Quack, quack, quack. You hear, kids?
Do you think they understand you?
Certainly. They're learning the sound of my voice.
Oh, I see. Why do they have to learn the sound of your voice, Daffy?
So they'll be able to quickly obey me after they're hatched.
If you never talked to them while they were still inside the eggshell, would they be able to obey your voice after they hatched?
No. Scientists proved that they would not be able to understand me when I spoke to them.
Oh, Spaghetti-O. And they wouldn't realize you were warning them about danger.
Right, and the weasel or the hawk would catch them.
So the Son of God, the great Creator, made the baby wood ducks with a mind that's able to learn.
Sure. For example, my ducklings leave the old hollow nest in the tree one day after they hatch.
Oh, my. So soon?
Yes, that's terribly important. I've got to get my babies out of that tree and into the pond nearby where it's safer.
So they can swim around. I see. Well, how do you get them out of that tree, Daffy?
They get themselves out, Uncle Bob.
Boy, that sounds difficult. How?
I fly out and land on the ground 40 feet below.
But those little ducklings are only about 3 inches long, and your hollow hole up there in that tree is a foot deep, and they're at the bottom of it.
True.
But how can they get themselves out?
All right. Because I talked with them while they were still in the eggshell. They know my voice. So down there on the ground, I'll make sure no enemy like a weasel or a hawk is lurking nearby. And I'll begin calling them.
Okay, what does that make them want to do, Daffy?
With their little toenails on the end of their webbed feet and the special hook the Creator put on the end of their bills, they climb up to the opening in the tree.
I see. That's the message you sent them in those quacks. But that's 40 feet to the ground. Can they fly?
No. Their wing feathers are not developed yet. They cannot fly.
What will they do?
They'll obey me when I call to them.
Like what?
They'll jump.
Won't they get hurt?
No. Their bodies are soft and downy and fuzzy. And they don't get hurt when they land on the grass and the leaves blow.
Daffy, would they jump if you didn't call them?
No, they'd still be up in the tree hole.
So, Daffy, that proves it was super important that they learn your voice before they were hatched.
Yes, because the very next day, on going to have to tell them to parachute out of the tree.
They must really trust your voice, Daffy.
Oh, yes. They cannot trust themselves. They've got to trust me.
But they must be scared before they jump. I mean, that's 40 feet from the ground.
Sure they are. But still, they trust me when I tell them to jump.
You know what's best for them, and they've learned to obey you. But what if they didn't obey you?
They'd die up in that tree. Because I won't go back and feed them. They'd starve to death. Plus, critters like weasels and coons would go up and get them.
You want to get them out of that tree and into the pond.
You got it, Uncle Bob. So now that I have my babies on the ground by my side, I call to them. And my ducklings hear my voice and recognize it. And they follow me. And I give to them a safer place to live.
In the old mill pond.
Yes. But even there, I have to teach them to look out for big old Bill the bass fish, and Bruno the bullfrog, and Samantha the water snake.
Yes, while your ducklings are little, they can be swallowed up by those critters.
Learning to obey an early age sure is important, Uncle Bob.
Really, Daffy? It can save a life from a lot of sadness later.
Learning to know and love the Creator at an early age is even more important, Uncle Bob.
Oh, my, now you're really talking, Daffy the Wood Duck.
Trust your maker while you're young, kids. That'll really prepare you for a good life. Take it from me, Daffy the Wood Duck. You'll never be sorry.
The Creator of the Wood Duck is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you sure you really know him as your Savior? Read about him in John chapter 1, the first 12 verses, okay?
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
7 days a week of what you really want. The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift
And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us as we get ready to close out the program today?
Well, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you and me.
And, of course, all our listeners
Amen.
Who are listening in via the Internet.
Over 150 countries, right?
Right. So, with that, we had a great program today, and we want to just say thank you for listening in, everybody.
Amen.
And so, Sister Ruth, we'll ask you to give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here, but remind everybody they could join us at 7 p.m. Eastern, coming up very soon here, for the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus.
Yeah, we miss them, the Lord. We hope that she could be on next time. And hopefully the shows will continue being on all the time now instead of all these technical difficulties. And we just want to praise and bless your name. We love you so much, precious. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Have a good evening.